Prabhupada ki Bhaktivedanta ki Rantarashima Bhagavatam ki Giriraj Maharaj ki Go Premanande
Bhaktivedanti.
Okay, welcome back. Those who have come for the first night of the classes. So this year, the plan is to cover chapters 25, halfway through 24, so we have to finish 24, 25 to 48. So Krishna will finish his pastimes in Vrindavan and enter into Mathura. Next year, if Krishna allows us, then we'll begin his pastimes in Dwarka. So, we won't have an introductory class or an induction class this year because everyone knows what needs to be done. The only two things I'll emphasize is please come on time, don't come late, and please pay your fees on time, don't pay them late. So if we just do those two things externally, they're the material, side of the course, the things that need to be done. And spiritually, keep up with your reading as much as you can. Take advantage as much as you can of studying the 10th chapter of the Bhagavatam. This is a rare opportunity to be in study. And if you can, also read. Keep up with the reading. And read the supporting literature also. Anyone has read the Ananda Vrindavan Jumble? Big reading, so you should, if you can, you should read this. The supporting literature is the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. All these they assist our understanding and the depth of. They allow us to enter much more deeply into the text and the Bible itself. So tonight we'll do an overview of what we covered last year, just so it's fresh in our minds, so we see how it's connecting now to the. The 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So, the first chapter of the 10th canto is called what? What is chapter 1? The advent of Lord Krishna. So we're hearing from the previous cantos, the connection. Won't keep this door closed, otherwise too much noise. Just keep it closed. The connection which is there, the Bhagavatam is a history of the universe. So it's describing the dynasties which are there within the universe. So in particular the ninth canto speaks of two dynasties, the Surya Vansh and the Chandra Vansh, which means the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty. So, as we heard in the ninth canto, Lord Ramachandra, he appears within the solar dynasty. And then Lord Krishna himself appears in the Chandra dynasty. So we hear that at the end of the ninth canto, it says that so many kings appeared, and then it mentions that Krishna and Balaram appeared within the Chandra dynasty. Brinda, you should sit down somewhere. And then the 10th canto begins with a description of Krishna and Balaram's appearance, the advent of the Lord. Particularly Krishna himself, because we understand Krishna to be the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is simply an elaboration on the pastimes of Krishna and to establish that Krishna is the original Supreme Lord. That is the essence of the study of the Bhagavatam. So to establish that Krishna is that original supreme personality of Godhead. So we hear in the very, very beginning of the first chapter, the advent of Lord Krishna, that Sukadeva Goswami emphasized that devotees must develop what is called Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. This is mentioned back in the second chapter of the first canto. So what is that? Vasudev Katara Ruchi. About Krishna. Yeah. Ruchi means a taste. Nama Ruchi. Lord Chaitanya, in fact, divides his entire philosophy into three categories. What are the three categories that Lord Chaitanya mentions? He mentioned Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prabhupada Siddhanta Sarasvati. This is the whole philosophy of the Krishna consciousness movement is Nam Ruchi, Jiva Doya, and Vaishnava Seva. These three things. That's the entire Hare Krishna movement. That's the entire Krishna consciousness movement. That's Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. We are meant to serve Vaishnavas, develop a taste for chanting and hearing about Krishna, Vasudev Katara Ruchi, Nam Ruchi, and Jiva Daya, and give mercy to the conditioned souls. So these three are the three essential elements of Lord Chaitanya's movement, which is based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vasudev Katara Ruchi, so we have to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. This is what liberates you from the material world. If you have a taste for hearing about Krishna, sometimes devotees do service, but the result of service is that we should develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. The result of serving Vaishnavas is that we should develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. The result of preaching Krishna consciousness, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, we should develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. So if you're doing so much service, but you're not developing a taste for hearing or chanting, then something defective in the application. So eventually taste should come. It takes time to develop taste, but it should come. In due course of time, more taste should come, more taste should come. So this is Vasudev Katara Ruchi. So Pritchett says that the whole purpose of hearing this Bhagavatam, hearing this 10th canto, is to develop this taste for hearing. So we cannot live without it. Just like we've been in a drought the last 3 months. We didn't have any class for November, December, January. Okay. So in my heart, I start developing a yearning to get back to the classes. Did you read while we were in between the last 3 minutes? Have you been reading steadily? Hands up if anyone's been reading steadily. No one? So therefore, that's why Prabhupada asked us to have these classes, because by having the classes, at least it gives us the opportunity to hear regularly. Because that is the essence of the movement. We need to develop that taste for hearing and chanting that Krishna. So it becomes indispensable to us, so that we cannot live without it. Prabhupada said, hear in rapt attention. Be absorbed in hearing. Develop a taste for hearing. The Pariksha begins by emphasizing this. This is why we're hearing the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, so that we can develop the taste. Now, if you read these other books, like the commentary of Vishwanath, Chakravarti Thakur, and Ananda Brindavan Champu and Gopal Champu, the different books, they give so much extra information about the pastimes of Krishna, which are taking place in between the pastimes, which we hear in the Bhagavatam. There's so much more taking place. Bhagavatam is like a summary. Pritchett Maharaj did not have a lot of time. Shukadeva Goswami could not speak so much. So they just speak in essential points are spoken. But there's so much more which is within. So take the opportunity to read as much as you can. And especially now, on Monday, next Monday, we'll finish chapter 24. We'll get to chapter 25. Chapter 29 is the Rasa Lila. We're immediately entering into the most sacred of Lord Krishna's pastimes. From chapter 29 and through to 33 is the Rasa Lila, the five chapters. And then the remaining chapters are up until Krishna leaves Vrindavan goes to Mathura, more or less dealing with Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So this is now the most exalted part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should develop a taste for hearing these topics. Because at the end, final verse of chapter 33, Shukadeva Goswami says, the disease of the heart, which is there for every living entity in the material world, which is called Hridaya, the heart, the world. This is the disease of the heart which every living entity has in the material world is what? Lust. It is calm, which keeps us away from Krishna. What is the definition of calm? Atmendriya Priti. Atma Indriya. When you have a desire to satisfy your own senses, separate from Krishna. That is what keeps us away from Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami says the cure for that is to hear about Krishna's pastime with the gopis. That is the most powerful cure. Of course, our philosophy recommends, and Lord Chaitanya recommends, that if you are hearing the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis prematurely, then the rasa will turn into virasa, and you'll get the opposite result. It will increase your lust. But we expect that if we've been studying now for nearly 14 years, so many, some devotees have been here the whole time. Did you do like yourself with me?
One.
That's what you did? Did you do the other? Did you get like yourself with me? But you were there from the start?
Yeah.
In the whole
family,
yeah.
Very
funny. You were there for the show? Bhakti Shastri? You got to just in there? You were there in the time? Okay. So some devotees have been there the whole time. You came for some. Some devotees have been there for the whole time, the whole 14 years. But many devotees have been coming for a period of time, or even been coming for a shorter period. But it's expected that we're developing adhika. Adhika means qualification. If we're studying this, because Prabhupada says that clearly, if you study Kandos 1 to 9 and you don't become God realized, then we've missed the whole purpose. We're meant to develop some qualification. So when we hear Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, it will cleanse the heart, not increase the lust, but remove the lust, purify the lust. Prabhupada said, it is showing us reality. That people have a desire to enjoy the company of the opposite sex, to dance and enjoy the association of the opposite sex. But Prabhupada said, now come to the real thing, come to the reality. If you're attracted to this, then come to where it actually takes place, where Krishna, the supreme male, and his eternal consorts dance in the rasa lila, which means a love maiden dance, which is devoid of material sense gratification or calm, and is full of praying to the highest levels. So we're going to hear about these things. So we have to take these things seriously, because if you don't hear in the right consciousness, then you will get a negative result. Now we're heading towards that in this year. So in one sense, this is the climax of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the summer morning of the whole Bhagavatam. It says the 10th canto is Krishna's face. Each canto represents a different part of his body. And cantos 1 and 2 are his feet, 3 and 4, like the legs, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is the neck. 10 is the face. 11 is the forehead, 12 is the helmet. It says the most beautiful part of the face is the smile. When someone smiles, the face becomes very beautiful. So chapters 29 to 33 are the smile of Krishna. In other words, this is when God is happiest. God is happiest is when he is with his most intimate associates performing the rasa dance.
Gopi Gita.
Yeah, there's many Gitas in the 10th canto actually. We've already had Manu Gita and Gopi Gita. There's Brahma Gita. I'll give you a list. Just remind me, I'll give you a list of the different songs. So, these are the most intimate pastimes of Krishna and his eternal consorts. This gives God the greatest pleasure. So Krishna is allowing us to come into his inner realm. This is the purpose of hearing the Bhagavatam. We're hearing about Krishna's inner realm, his confidential pastimes. Well, you have to enter this in a very serious and contemplative and devotional mood. Because if you do not approach in the right mood, you won't understand it. That's why generally it's not spoken about publicly. Prabhupada would not speak about it publicly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not speak about it publicly. It is not there publicly and it's not spoken about. In one sense, this is considered to be a private group. It's not really a public group. People are coming here have some adhikar. But now, that's enough. So, now, we're giving the opportunity to come towards God's most intimate healing. And to know God. That's the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness. To know Krishna intimately. We want to know Him. Now He's going to reveal to us, this is what I do, this is what I enjoy. This is what I... Lila means pastime. These are my activities. This is how I choose to spend my time. Krishna can do anything. He can spend His time in any way He pleases. If the highest satisfaction for God was just destroying universes, then that's what He'd be doing. Okay. Now, create it. There it is again. Now, destroy it. But that's not His highest satisfaction. If that was the highest satisfaction, He would be doing that. But what is He doing? He's performing dancing with His intimate cowherd girlfriend. And the gopis are doing that. This is highest time. This is how God chooses to spend His time. And this gives Him the greatest satisfaction. These things are esoteric. Esoteric means hidden, very deep. Lord Chaitanya would experience these pastimes in the Gambhira. Gambhira means very deep. These are not superficial things. So to understand this, we have to become deep ourselves. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is Gambhira. Those are meant to be deep. So now it's a test for all of us. It's like you go to the Olympics and they raise the bar. If you want to go to the Olympics, you have to be able to jump a great height. It's not like little athletics in Albert Park. They have some bar and you have to jump that. No, this is big stuff. So if you want to understand this or approach this, then you have to advance in Krishna consciousness. You can say, well, I'm not advanced, then become advanced. You've got a few weeks. It's possible, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It can be done very, very... Krishna consciousness can be had in a moment, Prabhupada says that. The Bhagavatam says that in the second canto. Katwanga Maharaj became Krishna conscious in how much time? One moment. Why? Because he chose to. But if you choose to, you can become a pure devotee now. So it is up to us. So, the first part of the first chapter... Bhumi Devi means Mother Earth. She goes to Lord Brahma and she prays to him that there are so many demons on the planet. Please assist. So Lord Brahma says, let's go to the ocean of milk. It's like now there's so many demons on the planet. I was in Jagannath Puri with Alia. And Chandan, as I saw him before, and you know, a few of us, I was taking Jagannath Mahaprasad. And Jagannath Puri, what is more auspicious? Very auspicious activity. And then someone said to me, Donald Trump just became the president of the United States of America. So I was sitting there taking Jagannath Mahaprasad, in ecstasy, taking Prasad. And it was like, it was like a dream. Donald Trump came out and I said, really? And it took an hour or something for it to set in. I was in disbelief. I thought, really? The world was so crazy that would put him in? Really? It was like some very, very strange. So this is the same thing just being spoken of now. Demons take control. I mean, demons take control, what is it? I actually heard on the radio just before, He's already set records. He's only been in office 8 days, and his approval rating is under 50%. And George W. Bush, who also became very unpopular, he's not known, you know, people don't have good memories of him. It took him 1,400 days for him to go to like 50% in popularity. And Donald Trump has already become, half of America already don't like him, he's only been 8 days. Because he's already making the, trying to pass legislation that people could not come to America if they're from, I think, 7 or 9 different countries. It's already becoming very strange. And the one, bodily consciousness, bodily concept of life. So, this is what takes place. When the demons come, and Krishna has to appear to rectify the situation. So where does Prabhupada say Krishna is now? You'd expect Krishna to be being born any moment now that someone comes to you. Where is Krishna right now? Or in India. Prabhupada says in the Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna is alive in this movement. And Krishna is here in this movement. Everything this movement represents, when it is purely practiced, that is Krishna. And that destroys the demoniac tendency of the living entities in Kali Yuga. When the devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness properly, Prabhupada said the temples become like Satya Yuga. When you walk in here, it's like Satya. There's no anxiety. So this is the potency. So Krishna, Lord Brahma said, let's go to the ocean and milk. He prayed, and then what took place? The Lord said, go and appear on earth. I will come very soon, and I will rectify the situation. So then all the Lord Brahma told all the demigods, you all go to the to earth, and take birth in the different dynasties. Yadu dynasty, that's Krishna's dynasty. Yadu dynasty, Kuru dynasty, Bhoja, all the different dynasties. But meanwhile on earth, Devaki was getting married to Vasudev. And Kamsa was the cousin brother of Devaki. So he was driving the chariot, which is a great honor. The king himself was driving the chariot. So he was driving the chariot, but then the voice came from the sky. And the voice said, Kamsa, you are a fool. You do not understand that the eighth child of your sister will kill you. So what did he do? He grabbed the sword and he was about to kill her. And Vasudev had to beg him not to kill Devaki. But then Kamsa, he threw them both into prison. He said, don't worry, when the eighth child will give you the child, but still, his mind was demonic, so he threw them into the prison. And then we have the second chapter. So what is the second chapter called? Prayers by the demigods. The prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. So Kamsa, he saw that Devaki, she was put in prison, and she gave birth to 6 children. And then he was killing each child. Most demoniac personality. And then the 7th child appeared there was a miscarriage. And we know the 7th child was? Balaram. Because Balaram always appears before Krishna to prepare everything. And who is the representative of Lord Balaram? No, Nityananda is Balaram. Who is the representative? Sankarshana is an expansion of. But the representative is the guru. So what does the guru do? He prepares everything for Krishna. And he teaches us how to prepare our hearts so that Krishna will appear. In one sense, this is allegorical. It's factual. this pastime actually took place, but there's a deep allegory or a deep significance from the pastime also. In other words, for Krishna to appear in our heart, six enemies have to go. The six children were killed. They also represent six enemies of consciousness, the conditioned soul. What are the six enemies? The six enemies which are there. They need to be destroyed. When they're destroyed, then Balaram can come. Balaram can make it a dharm. Because Krishna will only appear in the dharm. Your heart has to become Vrindavan. So have you got a t-shirt? That says on the back, it says, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Has anyone got that t-shirt? Yeah, I've got the t-shirt. But I didn't lose my heart yet. We say it, but actually we're meant to do it. That the heart becomes Vrindavan. And then when your heart is Vrindavan, then Krishna will appear. Because Krishna will only appear in Vrindavan. Krishna doesn't say, it says in the Shastra, Krishna does not take a step outside of Vrindavan. So when your heart is non-different from Goloka, then Krishna will always reside there. So, Kamsa kills all the different children, and then finally he sees that Devaki becomes very effulgent. And he knows that something extraordinary has taken place. That his enemy has taken birth. Okay. That is Krishna himself. And then that particular chapter is called Prayers by the Demigods. So the demigods see that Devaki is effulgent, and all the demigods come to offer prayers. They know that Krishna is within the womb. So they pray, we know that you are there, please come out and please perform your pastime. And the story comes to another, that of the demonic personality. What is chapter 3 called? The birth of Lord Krishna. So then finally we see Krishna appear. So when Krishna appeared, everything became auspicious on the earth. The planets lined up in a very auspicious way. In the third chapter, if you look at Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, you see he casts the chart that shows us the Jyotish at the time of Krishna's appearance. Extremely powerful chart. The Lord himself is appearing. So all the planets were appearing to serve or assist. Just like when you look at your Jyotish. And then you'll see some planets are assisting and some planets are obstructing. It's called benefic and malefic. Benefic means they give you... So if you have certain planets in your chart, if they're well placed, it means you will get a natural momentum going in certain ways in your life. And if you have malefic planets, they will hold you back or create obstacles. So in Krishna's chart, there is very little obstacle. A very auspicious chart, extremely auspicious. So all the planets are assisting and aiding Krishna, they're serving Krishna. We'll make everything easy for you. Of course everything is easy for him because he's the Lord. So at the time of his birth, everything became very, and the earth became very peaceful. Just like here, the ocean. Sometimes you come and the ocean's very peaceful. That's auspicious. That's considered to be a good omen. There's so many auspicious signs were there at the time of Krishna's appearance on the earth. Everyone knew that something, and you can feel when the stars are positively aligned, you can feel like a very peaceful energy within yourself and on the earth and within others. So at the time of Krishna's appearance, that took place. So, when Krishna appeared, he appeared as a four-armed personality. So you can imagine, you know, been waiting 9 months for your baby to be born, and then suddenly he appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Devaki and Vasudev, they immediately offered prayers. And then because of the parental affection, the Lord transformed into a baby. But then they became frightened that Kamsa would harm the baby. But then they took the baby across the Jamuna. That was the next chapter. the atrocities of King Kamsa. So, fearing for the life of the baby, they took the baby to Gokul, which is straight across the river from Mathura. Have you been to Gokul? On the eastern side of the Jamuna. And then Mathura is on the western side of the Jamuna. So straight across. That's where Nandamara. So the Vasudeva went across.
Mm-hmm.
He got to the river. And the river was heavy, heavy rain. Everything was dark. The river was very turbulent. And he saw one jackal. Oh, well, the story last year. And the jackal came in and he just walked across the water as if it was shallow. And then Vasudeva stepped in the water and he began to walk, and it was like that for him also. It was very shallow, so he walked across. And then Jamuna Devi. The Jamuna is an expansion of Vishaka, which means one of Krishna's intimate associates. Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka. So, because she is the expansion of Vishaka, she wanted to associate with Krishna, so he was carrying the baby in the dark across the river. And one of the waves came up and grabbed the baby and took her. Took him. And then was caressing in the waves. The Jamuna was enjoying pastimes with Krishna, thinking that later he will come and enjoy pastimes with him. So Vasudeva was beside himself, and then the Jamuna gave back the baby. He took the baby and he got across. And then when he went to the house of Ashoda, everyone was asleep. The arrangement of Yogamaya. And that night in Gokul, when Vasudeva Krishna appeared in Mathura, then Swayam Bhagavan, the original Krishna, appeared in Gokul. So Vasudeva placed the baby in the dark on the bed and he picked up the other baby. The other baby was Yogamaya, the sister of Krishna. They took back to Mathura. In the meantime, he didn't realize that twins had been born. The original Krishna was there, and Vasudeva Krishna was there, and then Vasudeva Krishna merged into the Vrindavan Krishna, the original Krishna. So then Yashoda wakes up in the morning, and there's just one boy there. He doesn't understand everything that's taking place. Meanwhile, Yogamaya has gone back to Mathura. Vasudeva's gone into the dungeon. All the doors have shut behind him, his shackles have gone back on, and then suddenly the baby cries. The soldiers hear, they wake Kamsa, and Kamsa runs into the dungeon, picks up the baby, and then throws the baby at the floor, and the baby flies up into the air, steps on his head, right? And says, "Kamsa, you fool, the child who will kill you is already born in this world. You cannot escape your death." Then Kamsa, he is beside himself in anxiety, because the baby was somewhere. But then he came with all these ministers, and he said, "The baby is born." He said, "Then kill the baby. Kill all the babies." And then they sent everyone out, all the babies within 10 days. And many were killed. And they did not find Krishna. He was in Vrindavan and Gokul. So then, what was the next chapter? The meaning of Nanda Maharaj and
Vasudeva.
Yeah.
Is it that Yashoda gave birth to twins?
Yeah.
And then one
girl. One girl, one boy. Okay. Yogamaya and Krishna. So, Nanda Maharaj performed a great ceremony that's called
Nandotsava.
What day is that? The day after
Janmashtami.
It's the day that Prabhupada was born. Nandotsava. So the day that Nanda Maharaj gave charity, he had a huge festival. He gave charity because his son was born. So he started really. Everyone came. And there was so much celebration. Everyone felt ecstatic because the child was born from Nandanaraj. He'd been waiting years. He was old now. He had a child. Finally, the child was born indeed. And then, after some days, Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura to pay taxes to Kamsa. How much tax should you pay to the government? 25%, that's the Vedic system. These days, it's all over the place. It's more or less. But back in those days, that's the Vedic system, 25%. So he took the grains and the milk products, and he took that to Mathura. And he said, come see here is the... So when he was there, he took the opportunity to go and meet Vasudev. Now Vasudev had taken the baby across, so he thought the son was his. And Nanda Maharaj, he was treating the son as being his son. And actually both were true. You know, the children had merged. But Vasudev tried to warn Nanda, he said, go back and protect the child. This Kamsa is going to kill all the children. So go back. And actually he was trying to protect his child. So he said, go back and be very careful. So then he traveled back with the cowherd men. And then what is the next chapter called? Giving a putra. So on the way back, what does he see? Yeah, he sees 12-mile-long body. That's like from here to the other side of the city. Yeah. Huge. Imagine you see like a huge corpse of the body. You'd be bewildered. What is that? So Krishna is saved. He kills. So this is where Krishna begins to kill the demons. This is the beginning. Oh, Brinda, what are you doing? You make more noise than Krishna. Please sit down, Brinda. So we see that Krishna begins to kill the demons at this point. From his very beginning of his pastimes. He's only a few days old, he kills the first demon. Yeah, around about 6 days. So then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, each demon is representing a particular Vainartha in your heart. What does Putana represent? Can I remember? False guru, very good. Yeah. False guru. Okay. Listening to the false guru. Yeah. False guru can be your own mind. Your false guru. Your mind tells you so many things. I was just speaking before I came here, one devotee I was speaking to before I came into the class. And he was saying, oh, my mind is telling me to do this. I said, oh, that doesn't really matter, does it? That's the false guru. Yeah. Or you listen to a guru who is not a guru. Yeah. What's an example of a guru who is not a guru? My Baba. Yeah. So many are there. False guru. But we should not listen to the false guru. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes a very nice article. And it was written 100 years ago. And he said the leaders of the church, where Christianity, that are coming to India, he said, they're full of false gurus. And 100 years later, that's all the same. So many false gurus. So each demon which Krishna kills represents a different Vainartha. So we go through it. And then there'll be more. Now, when we start, Govardhan Lila represents something. And then we'll hear about when Varuna kidnaps. Different things. And then after the Rasa Lila, there's Arishtasura and Kashyap. There's some demons. We'll hear about the meanings of these personalities. So he kills Putana. And what is chapter 7? Trinavata. So, what form did Putana take? A beautiful lady. So then Trinavata said, I won't make that mistake. I will come as a whirlwind. So he came like that. The more hidden. So Krishna kills him. And then the next chapter is? Okay. should be in your notes. Don't have both in your notes. So then, the next demon that is killed is Shakata. So, what form did Shakata surrender?
Fire.
In other words, he was like a ghost, invisible, hitting the car. So it became more subtle, more subtle. Actually, it was the other way around. It was Pujana, then Trinivasa, and then. Pujana, then Shakata, then Trinivasa. Pujana took that form, so then Shakata thought, I won't come as a human, I'll enter the car. And Trinivasa then thought, I'll come, just come as wind. But then what takes place when we try to play games with Krishna? If you play games with him, he will reveal you. And he will destroy your demoniac tendency. Sometimes we try to do that. We try to avoid surrendering to Krishna. We try to be duplicit with Krishna. And then Krishna will immediately destroy any demoniac tendency. You can't hide from Krishna. You think, oh, no one will find out. He exposes everything. That's his potency. So each demon was trying to more subtly approach Krishna, but it could not be done. So then, chapter 8 is called? He shows the universal form within his mouth. So then he shows he is God. He shows Aishwarya. Very powerful. Look in someone's mouth and what do you see? That's powerful. Baby boy. It's just eating laddu or something like that, and then you look in the mouth and you see everything. Mother Yashoda, her love was so powerful, even when Krishna showed everything in his mouth, he just said, close your mouth. She closed his mouth and she shook her head and she looked again over the mouth and it was all no longer. But her love was so strong that she forced Krishna just to reciprocate as their son. That's how powerful. Yeah. She could not see him in another way. I'm really sure that she was just, what is that? And then she brought him back to it. That is the power. And we'll see actually in the next few months in the Rasa Lila, similar thing takes place. Krishna shows four arms. He leaves the Rasa dance, he shows four arms. And then when Radharani comes, and he forces him to turn back into Krishna. She will not allow him by her prema, her love. She controls Krishna, Sri Krishna Kashyam. The Mother Yashoda, she controls Krishna. She brings Krishna under control. So Krishna has to act as Mother Yashoda desires. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. So then, chapter 9 is?
Divine love.
She binds Lord Krishna. So, once again, impossible. How can you bind God? She does it. You cannot do it, and yet she does it. And what is the pastime? What is the Dhammadharma? It's considered the highest pastime in Vatsalya. And as we know, the Charis explained, the ropes were two fingers too short, which represent
mercy
and endeavor. Both must be there. You have to try, and God has to commit. In Vrindavan, they have a saying. Go and speak to the bridge buses and say, no permission, no admission. You can't get into Vrindavan unless you're permitted. You can't buy a Prabhupada says you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. You can't just buy a train ticket and just go to Vrindavan. One time Dhanadas Swami was telling us that there's a little train that runs from Mathura to Vrindavan. A few kilometers, not far, but a little train. Called Radharani Express. So he said he got on the train, but he didn't have time to buy the ticket. So He just jumped on the train and got to Vrindavan. He got off and he went up to the station master and he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't have time to get a ticket." He said, "You don't need a ticket to come to Vrindavan. Just chant right here, right here."
Yeah.
Actually, that's how you enter Vrindavan. You can't buy a ticket to get there. You have to get permission. And who gives you permission? That's ultimately Srimati Radharani. He allows us to come to Krishna's seva. So Mother Yashoda, she binds up Krishna. It's only when Krishna allows that she comes bound up. Then the deliverance of the Jamalajan trees. So the two demigods they took birth as Nalakavara and Manigriva. They took birth. Now what does that Anata represent? What does this past time represent? Right in? Aristocracy, wealth.
Yeah.
And it's interesting actually, because Queen Kunti says, Janmashraya Shushribya. We become bewildered by four things. Janma means good birth. Ashraya means money. Shruta means when you're learned. And Shribya means when you're attracted to the opposite sex. So those four things, they intoxicate the living entity, the conditioned soul. Out of the four, which one intoxicates the most?
Yeah.
It intoxicates more than anything else. That's why, as devotees, if you have wealth, you have to be very careful. It's intoxicating. So it is recommended that we use our wealth in the service of the Guru and Krishna. If you become rich, just go and talk to your spiritual master. You'll sort it out very quickly. You won't be wealthy for very long. Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada said, "Give me $1 million this morning, I will spend it by the evening." He said, "Tomorrow, you give me another million, I will have that spent by the end of the day." So if you are a wealthy person, then just get initiated. You won't be wealthy anymore. If you're a spiritual master, he will direct that asset, that energy in Krishna's service. And that is the ultimate perfection of your wealth. You don't use your wealth in Krishna's service. It's a burden. And it's the most intoxicating of all things. So this represents that. Pride that we are rich, we are famous, and then Krishna smashed them. Narada made them take birth as trees. And then chapter 11 is called Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. So you see Krishna just acting as a boy, and then one fruit vendor comes and she offers Krishna some fruits. So Krishna takes all the fruits in his little hands, holding it. And then she turns around and she looks back at her basket. Her basket is full of jewels. So what is the lesson? We give Krishna nothing and he gives us everything. That's basically how it operates. But because we're in Maya, we think that we have to maintain ourselves. We hold on to all our jewels, all our fruits. If you start giving a few to Krishna, you see you just get more in return. It gives you unlimited material, but more than that, more spiritual. If you just give a little bit to Krishna, Krishna gives you so much in reciprocation. Krishna is waiting to see when will you start giving those fruits, when will you start letting go. Material, it means, you know, give Krishna money, but it also means giving him your heart. When you give Krishna your devotion, Atmani Vedanam, means when you give him your self, then Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly. So this past time, this is what Vrindavan is about. Vrindavan means you give everything to Krishna. Don't try to keep anything for yourself. Then, the next chapter is Killing the Demon, Agasura. What form was Agasura in? A big python. And then Krishna So it was an amazing pastime, because all the demigods were watching. Yeah, it was like a huge snake. And the snake went once again from here to the other side of the city. When they make movies about this stuff. Now, what's the best movies they have now? Rogue One. See Rogue One? Did it like that? That was good for the last one. So, bit of a letdown. One of the biggest movies in history. Bit of a letdown. So, for nothing. That's the material world. So much anticipation for nothing. So if they made these things in the movies, that would be great movies. Imagine, you know, if we saw Avasura and Krishna Gaharan boys running with the mouth, and the mouth closes. And Krishna expands himself and becomes hot and smashes the head, the life hairs out of Avasura. So in the meantime, who was watching? Yeah, all the demigods, but Brahma was watching. And then what's the next chapter called? Stealing the boys and calves. So he couldn't understand. He was looking. Right? Because what did Krishna do after he killed the snake? Yeah, the picnic. Right? And then what was happening in the picnic? Eating off God's plate. Right? Taking the food off his plate, taking food off their plate, or biting something. And then putting it in Krishna's mouth. Like that. You imagine. Can we imagine this? Right, you're serving Radha Balabha on Sunday morning, offering them the breakfast, and you go up and you bite one of the pakoras and put it in Balabha's mouth. I mean, can you imagine it? It's like, it's beyond imagination how familiar they are to God. Just bite it and put it in his mouth, take something off his plate. And sometimes they say, close your eyes. You know, I'll put the sweet, and then he closes his eyes, and they get a flower, and they put that in his mouth. So there's the intimate relationships between Krishna and Brahma is bewildered. He's watching this. He's saying, what's going on? He just killed this snake. And now he's just having a picnic. What's going on? Is he really God? So he takes the calves, and Krishna goes off, and then he takes the cowherd boys, and Krishna shows him. So this pastime shows Krishna's supreme Aishwarya. Like he's still in the Paugandhari, and Krishna's still young. And he's showing his power, showing who he is. And Prabhupada says, this is what we have to understand. He is God. He is a cowherd boy, but this cowherd boy is the source of everything. He's an all-powerful cowherd boy. So this is what this pastime is showing. Even the topmost person in this universe, the world is it. And then we see, then he bewilders Indra, and then later on, he defeats Shiva. So this pastime is being shown all through the 10th canto to show Krishna's supremacy. So then what does Lord Brahma do? Chapter 14. Offers prayers. Comes to Krishna and he offers prayer. And what does Krishna do? What does Krishna do? Yeah, he's kind of distracted. He's thinking, who's the guy?
I just
want to
play.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's got four heads. He's laying on the ground in front of him. And he gets up and he's on his knees and he's praying. And he's got tears in his eyes. Say, my Lord, please forgive me for all that I've done. And Krishna's just like, and Krishna's eating his yogurt. So he's got dahi in his hand. He's got some amla, ginger. Like he's mixing it, he's just eating it. He's eating, who's the guy? And he's looking around, where are the cards? The guy keeps talking. And when's he going to finish? And Prabhupada finishes. know, the whole 14th chapter. I mean, exalted prayers. You know, some of the most famous prayers in our tradition, in our heritage, in our philosophy. And then Krishna just, you know, hears the whole thing, and Krishna shrugs. He doesn't even respond, and he shrugs. He walks off. Goes into the forest, find the boy, and Brahma's just bewildered. What have I done? And then that leads to the pastime of him becoming Haridas Thakur. And the pastime goes further and further like that. So, once again, Krishna is showing us, you can't, and that's what Brahma's pastime represents, you can't understand Krishna through Aishwarya. Not Krishna in Vrindavan. You can understand Krishna in other places, in Vaikuntha, but not in Vrindavan. So then the next chapter is? And he walks off. Doesn't respond. And the next chapter is? Killing off Dhenuka. Dhenuka, two demons are killed by Dhenuka and Lamba. So it's important, you have to understand. Study your notes. See why Krishna killed these things. And then, 16, Krishna chastises the serpent, Kaliya. So if you read Ananda Vrindavan Champu, after the pastime, Krishna defeats Kaliya and sends him to what's the island called? Ramanaka Island, otherwise known as
the famous Fiji island.
He's still living under the island. The big snake Kaliya. So Kaliya went there, and then afterwards they didn't go all the way back because that's down near the Jamuna. So instead of walking all the way home because it was late, they camped out overnight. And that was the first time, if you read Ananda Vrindavan Champu, that was the first time Radha and Krishna developed a relationship. Because all the gopis came, they saw Krishna dancing, right? And Radharani's heart became stolen by Krishna. And then everyone slept, and Krishna was sitting up. And looking, and Radharani was sitting up, and they just looked at each other all night. And all the gopis were awake, they were looking at Krishna, because they were so attracted to him. And Krishna just looked at Radharani, he didn't look at any of the other, and they knew that he is more attached to Vrishabhanu, Maharaj's daughter, than anyone else. This is where the pastime between Radha and Krishna began, in this incarnation. And then, the forest fire came. And the gopis, because they were awake, because they're looking at Krishna, they begin to scream, "There's a fire, there's a fire." And then what does Krishna do? Swallows the fire. Yeah, there's two fires. There's one and then there's another one. Chapter 17 is called The History of Kaliya. So we hear all about how he offended which sage? Bavarin. You have to be careful about offending the devotees. You offend the devotees, all your good work is finished. The Sobhari, you offended Garuda. By offending Garuda, everything is benefited. Same as Kaliya. Kaliya committed a big offense, Krishna snapped. Chapter 18 was called Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralamba. Very significant, Dhenuka and Pralamba, what they represent. Chapter 19, Swallowing the Forest Fire. There was a second forest fire that Krishna swallowed. He told all his friends, just close your eyes. Swallow the fire. When they opened their eyes, they were all sitting under a tree. And Krishna was just laying back. Everyone was just comfortable. So, there was a fire. Krishna's potency. If you live with Krishna, there is no anxiety. He will deliver you from anxiety. Then, chapter 20, the rainy season, and autumn in Vrindavan. And chapter 21 is called The Gopis Glorify the Song of Krishna's Flute. It's called Venu Bhuta. is when this pastime is the first chapter in the Bhagavatam, which is exclusively dedicated to relationship with Krishna and the gopis. The first time Madhurya Rasa is completely explained. So it's a very important chapter. Chapter 22 is called Krishna Steals the Garments of the Unmarried Gopis. So many significant points in that pastime. Krishna takes their garments. In other words, Krishna will take everything from us. First he takes your clothes, and then he takes everything. Now that's what this pastime represents. For the materialist, they will see it just being lusty association between young man and young woman. It's not like that. Krishna is not that kind of personality. But he was taking their heart. And actually he accepted them as his wife. In Parakya, means there was no marriage, but he accepted, "You are my wife." And he said to them, "We will dance soon in the nighttime," which is what's coming up soon, the Rasa Lila. Krishna steals the garments. Then chapter 23. The Brahmin and his wives are blessed once again. Krishna asks the wives of the Brahmanas to come. The wives of the Brahmanas come. They want to give everything to Krishna, but they can't. Because of their social position, Krishna will not have a conjugal relationship with them. Because Krishna doesn't want to disturb the social balance of the Varnashram system. So because they're in the bodies of Brahmanis, he won't have conjugal relationship with them, although he accepts their love. Once again, it's showing the exalted position of the gopis. The gopis can and will have that relationship. And the Brahmana wives, they had to take birth as gopis to have the conjugal relationship. It shows how exalted the gopis are. Although they appear simple, they are not. And chapter 24 is where we finished last year. It's called Worshipping Me. Govardhanika. So this Govardhan is Krishna's favorite pastime place. Rupa Goswami says greater than Vaikuntha is Vrindavan, greater than Vrindavan is Govardhan, greater than Govardhan is Radhakum. So Govardhan is Krishna's most intimate place. So this is preparing us for the pastime place. So next Monday we'll finish chapter 24. And chapter 25 is also about Govardhan Hill. Next week we'll enter more deeply into the pastime of Govardhan Hill. And then we'll continue by Krishna's mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakti Vedanta ki.